Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
See, this is the part that we were talking about earlier tonight, DJ. When we're talking about the party, this is the after party. Because now it's after midnight. All right, this is the late night portion.
I like it.
The entire show is late night, but still, it's the late night.
It's Tuesday. Welcome to Tuesday.
I know, right? All right, late night here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
That means there's no rules, right? We can just kind of do whatever we want?
We can just say whatever the hell we want.
Oh, great.
Just let it fly. Nobody's listening.
That's not true.
I know.
My buddy,
I want people to listen.
My buddy Paul's up listening. He keeps texting me.
I hope other people are listening as well. We're just hanging out, having fun here on one of the best signals in all the country. We're going to get back to the NCAA brackets, too. Okay, we're not done with the brackets quite yet because we still got one more region to go to and talk about. We started with the East, went to the West, just went over the South, and now we're headed to the Midwest. Okay, now we're headed to the Midwest. And in the Midwest, quite honestly, I think this could be the chalkiest of the different regions. Because the one seed in this region is North Carolina. The two seed in this region is Kentucky. And the three seed is Houston. I don't see anything outside of those three teams going to the Final Four and making it here to Minneapolis. I think that's it. The way that it shakes out to me is UNC versus Kentucky battling it out to get to Minneapolis. Now, could Houston pull off a little bit of an upset? Yeah, they could. But I think this is a pretty chalky region here. I think it's UNC versus Kentucky to get to Minneapolis. And I've been on the bandwagon for some time in regards to talking about Kentucky. And the Wildcats they have improved this entire season. They are one of the teams that I watched the entire year, and I said they improved week to week. Now, let's take you back to game number one. The Kentucky Wildcats played the Duke Blue Devils. Very first game. Duke wins, I want to say, by like 20. It was a blowout. Like, Kentucky got smashed. And nobody was ready for that. We knew that Duke was going to be good. We figured, okay, Kentucky's probably, they'll be good. But no, they were not ready for what they received that opening night. But if you evaluate and if you look at Kentucky and what they've been able to do throughout the entire season, Kentucky, to me, is one of those teams that grew the most. PJ Washington got so much better and became their leader. He became their star player in the post. And I think the Higgins kid that plays point guard, he's gotten so much better over the course of the year. I know Kwadi Green, he announced after, I want to say like the first two or three weeks, like the first month of the season, he said, you know what, I'm not getting any playing time. I'm leaving the program. And you know what? That has not hurt Kentucky at all. They have been just fine. And I think that Nick Richards, the post player that a lot of people thought could be possibly a one-and-done player last year, he knew he wasn't ready for the NBA. In my estimation, he's still not ready for the NBA. He's in his sophomore year at Kentucky. He's starting to give them some really good minutes as we speak right now. So I just like the way Kentucky is playing right now. I know that Kentucky ended up losing to Tennessee in the SEC tournament, but a lot of people believe that Tennessee is as good as you're going to find, and they're probably going to end up in Minneapolis for the Final Four. I think Kentucky is positioned to get to the Final Four, but that would be a great matchup to see Kentucky face North Carolina to get to Minneapolis. That'd be awesome. The other team in that region that I do want people to be aware of, though, is Kelvin Sampson's Houston Cougars. They are good. Long athletic squad. There are three teams to me that are somewhat similar. Texas Tech, Houston, and Florida State. Now, the issue with Houston is I think that Houston's maybe a little bit more well-rounded than Florida State is offensively, but they're not as good defensively, and they're not as athletic as Florida State is. When you look at Florida State versus Texas Tech, Florida State is pretty good defensively, a little bit better offensively, but they're not as good as Texas Tech is when it comes to maybe the all-around package. But those three teams are so similar to me. When you look at Florida State, Texas Tech, who are both in the West, and then you have Houston that's in the Midwest. So that will be a very interesting matchup. Hey, for me to see Houston versus Kentucky in the Sweet 16, that would be awesome. That would be a great game. That'd be a great matchup, and I would love to see that shake out. I think a lot of people feel like the Iowa State Cyclones, fresh off of their Big 12 tournament victory, them winning in the championship and knocking off Kansas. I think a lot of people believe that Iowa State could go on a run. Not so fast, my friends. Yes, I believe they're better than Ohio State, but I don't believe that they're better than Houston, so we'll see how that shakes out potentially in the second round. One of the games that will be sneaky, and I'm going with North Carolina because I think the North Carolina is a much better program and a better team than they are, but Utah State. I know that Washington's the school that we crowned. And when I say we, I'm talking about us Gopher fans. Remember, that was the victory non-conference everybody was talking about. Everybody was talking about, oh, we beat Washington on that last second shot. Yeah, the last second shot where Gabe Kelscher traveled, but the referees didn't call it. And I'm glad they didn't call it because we needed that victory. Washington, to me, is not as good as maybe we're hyping them up to be. I know the Pac-12, terrible this year. Not a good conference. And Washington, for the longest time, it seemed like many people thought that that was going to be the only team that was going to come out of the Pac-12. Well, clearly that wasn't the case. Oregon coming out of the conference as well. But I'm not sold on Washington, and I think that Utah State, although Utah State is an 8-9 matchup, I think that Utah State gets the better of that game, and I would like to see them face UNC. But when it comes to the matchups to go to the Final Four, I'm going North Carolina versus Kentucky in the Midwest. And out of that bracket, I'm going Kentucky to the Final Four. All right, so just to kind of wrap it up a little bit, bracket-wide in all the different regions, right now I have three ones and a two. That's rather chalky. And I mentioned that last night on Fox 9 with Jim Rich. You want to predict some upsets, and I got a couple of upsets that I have predicted. But once you get into that second weekend, I just don't see anybody knocking off Duke to stop them from getting to Minneapolis. Plus, I love to see the kid Trey Jones get back home. That'd be awesome. I'm a fan of Trey's, big fan of his family, friends with his dad Rob, and Tyus is an awesome kid as well. Shout out to the mother, Debbie. Get well. I think it's Duke out of the East, Gonzaga out of the West, Virginia out of the South, and Kentucky out of the Midwest. So those are the four schools I'm going with for my Final Four.
Now, when you say those schools, I think it's because you think those four have the best chance to go to the Final Four. That's what we're talking about.
Those are the teams that I think are going to get out.
Now, if you are, I don't know how many brackets you do or what your strategy is.
I typically do like two.
So
I'll do one here at the office, and I'll do another random one.
Now, do you take into account, for example, how many people are in the bracket? Who else is there? Because sometimes there's a strategy where you go, hey, I really think it's going to go, you know, 1-1, 1-2 or whatever, like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to have a chance to win this thing, I got to call a few more upsets and get lucky to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go outside of the playbook to kind of take a stab at winning the whole deal?
Not necessarily, because it's not like I'm filling out a ton of brackets.
Sure.
I'm only filling out a couple. So I can't deviate that much unless I'm in a pool when I say, okay, I'm going to do this one, and then this one I'm going to make drastically different.
Yeah.
I just don't see myself doing that. I just don't see it. All right, so that's going to wrap up our bracket conversation. Of course, we'll be talking brackets tomorrow as well as Wednesday. Mike Max will join us on Wednesday night live from Des Moines, and then Gopher basketball, getting everything started Thursday morning with the NCAA tournament. But coming up next, will two fan favorites from last season make the Twins roster this year? We get to that on Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO.
As Astudillo sends one high and deep to left field, Mancini back. That is traveling, and that is gone. Astudillo adding to the home run parade early today. In three innings, the Twins have homered three times, 7-0.
All right, welcome back to Lake Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Are we going to have some pop in the bat this year? Are we going to have more home runs being hit at Target Field? I hope so. You know, I was ranting and raving about how excited I am for Nelson Cruz to be a part of this organization. Have him mashing at Target Field starting in a couple of weeks. That'll be fun. I don't know if you saw the picture of the – have you seen the picture that was tweeted out of Target Field? Because, you know, the streets there, you know, ice and snow and all that, whatever. But the grounds, props to the Twins and the groundskeepers. I mean, that's – remarkable how good it looks. We're going to be ready. There's no doubt in my mind, after seeing that photograph, that we're going to be ready for baseball on March 28th. No doubt in my mind.
Well, I heard Dave St. Peter on earlier this week with a different show here on CCO, and he was explaining with the way they can heat the turf there, it's not a question whether they can grow grass. They can grow the grass,
without question.
The field's going to be fine. For opening day, it's all about what the weather is like and how comfortable it is for fans. It is not about the playing conditions on the field, because they will be ready. They have the technology. They have the manpower. They'll be ready for baseball.
Oh, no question about it. I'm looking forward. It's going to be fun. I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that we have fun with it. We joke and play around with it in terms of like, man, this weather's so brutal. What's going on? I think that I saw somebody tweet because you can always do like the weather, a few weeks out or whatever, mm-hmm. that it possibly could rain that day. So that would be interesting. But all in all, we're ready for baseball, man. Because when we're ready for baseball, that means we're ready for summer.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I'm ready for it already.
I think the forecast, what is that, 10 days, 11 days out? You know,
that's more accurate.
A shower in the forecast isn't a huge deal.
No, I'm with you.
It's supposed to be 60 this weekend. How about that?
See? Let's go. It's melting already. When we're feeling good. Then we got to deal with the flooding problems.
Well, yeah, let's save that for a different day.
We still got to deal with that. But you played the highlight there, and this guy's just fun, right? Williams Astudillo.
That's right.
He's fun. Like, when you have a team. And this is not a shot at teams that struggle. This is not a shot at teams that have a losing season. This is not a shot at teams that are perennial losers. Okay? This is just being honest. This is the fan of me talking. Okay? This is the fan's perspective. When you struggle as a team or as an organization, I don't care what the sport is. Okay? It can be baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is. When you struggle, of course the fans will be frustrated. Of course the fans will just they'll have that sense of, you know what, man, we're paying the money to see this team win, and this team isn't winning, and so it's really hard to stomach. Okay? Because that's how you feel at times, especially when you've, like, with me in the Wolves, of course I'm frustrated when you get tickets and the team doesn't win. But there's a part of you, though, that can appreciate a great personality, okay? And when your team isn't playing up to that level, but you have a personality or a player on that club that is funny, that's refreshing, that's just a good dude or good gal or whatever, you know, whatever the gender is or whatever the, you know, whatever the sport that they're playing, it makes you feel good. It really does. It makes you want to root for not only your team because that's your team, but for that player specifically. And that's what I think of when we're watching Williams play. That's the deal. When he's playing, because he doesn't look the part, like people will say he looks like Bartolo Colon, right? And everybody makes fun of when Bartolo plays because they're like, man, this guy's old as heck. He's out of shape. He doesn't look like he's a Major League Baseball player, but he's still getting it done, right? They say that all the time. I feel like he catches some of that too because he doesn't look like he's the most athletic guy in the world. He doesn't look like he's the fastest guy in the world. But you know what? He's a ball player.
Yeah, and when Williams came up last year in, I don't know if it was September or maybe August, first of all, he mashed right away. He hit the ball. He hit the cover off the ball right when he got up and had a good last month or so of the season. And as I look back as a Twins fan at the end of last season when we weren't anywhere close to the playoff picture,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still a Twins fan. I still love going to the ballpark. I still love following the team. The two storylines that I remember are Joe Mauer retiring, which
yep.
was particularly just that last week and the last home series there, and then Williams Astudillo. And I think Astudillo might be more memorable for me. And that was some of that was the promotion that the, you know, Twins folks did around him. And, you know, he's got the flushed face as he's running around second base and all that kind of stuff. But for to have a player like that who is good, who's playing good
mm-hmm,
ball
mm-hmm.
and is also, you know, making fans smile and bringing some fun to the ballpark, I think is a huge benefit.
And I think a guy like that, he comes across as relatable.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many guys out there that will look at a player like himself. And because what's the first thing we think of when we say professional athlete? You think, okay, the guy's got to be chiseled up. He's got to be rocked up. He's got to be like one of the fastest players in the world. He's probably he's got incredible brute strength. He's probably, you know, he has all those measurables, right? But then there's players like him. Well, he doesn't have all those measurables. He's just a ball player. He plays hard. He runs as fast as he can. And it's not to say that, like, it's not like saying he's Rudy or anything like that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? This guy can play.
Yeah. And he's aggressive at the plate. He's not taking a lot of pitches. He's swinging and he's hitting the ball hard. And fans love to see that, especially in this age of, you know, working the count and letting strikes go by and all that stuff. A guy who's got some energy, swings the bat hard. It's fun to cheer for that guy.
Hey, think about this for a second. I know this is going to totally catch you off guard. But when we think of athletes and how they're built nowadays and how much training goes into it, we've talked about Zion Williamson in basketball. You look at Major League Baseball and you see guys like Mike Trout. Okay. How successful, if at all, do you think a Babe Ruth would be today?
Well, I mean, I think those questions are always so
I know
hard
they're hard. You can't answer them.
Yeah.
But think about that, though. Think about a Babe Ruth many years ago. I mean, one of the greatest players to ever play, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at what goes on nowadays. You think a guy can just get away with just being a good hitter and never training in terms of not eating right,
yeah,
boozing it up, smoking.
See, I think the game changes so much with training and technology and strategies that players have now and that are ever increasing. So Babe Ruth, the way he played when he played, no, I don't think
it worked.
Back then. Yeah, back then. But if he were to just show up with the exact same person and show up today.
He's not showing up hitting dingers.
No, I don't think he would do well. Now, if Babe Ruth grew up in this day and age and had the training, the technology, and all that players have now, sure, I think there's as good a chance as not that he would turn into a great player. But just everything has changed in every sport. I mean, it's constantly changing. So to think that a guy like that could just show up and mash, I don't think so.
Hey, by the way, we have to one thing we have to start doing this week, I'm just thinking about it now, is we got to start putting together like hotkeys for drops that we can use. And that's absolutely, that's number one. That's one that I want to use, is the kid from the Little League World Series last year, Big Al, when he says, "My name's Big Al and I hit dingers." I want that one. I love that kid.
Let's do it.
"My name's Big Al and I hit dingers." Oh, we got to find that. We got to find that, man. That kid was awesome. All right, coming up in 60 seconds today. Well, in roughly 60 seconds, today's top story comes your way in 60 seconds. See, that was 60 seconds. Laura Oak, she doesn't be playing. She doesn't mess around. Back at it here on Lake Night on 830 WCCO. I'm not the biggest golfer, but I typically, I'll play golf when there's like a charity event. So I've played in various charity events. I like to give back and do stuff that way. But I'm not somebody that you're going to just pick up the phone, DJ, and say, "Hey, like, you want to go hit a bucket of balls? Do you want to go play, you know, AT?" That's not me. Like, because I'm not the guy that, like, when I go out and play, and of course I want to hit good shots and I want to be, you know, somewhat competitive. You know, I want to win. But I'm not the guy that's going to go out there and I have to be Tiger Woods, y'all. I'm not mimicking Phil Mickelson or – no, that's not who I am. I'm going out there. I want to have fun, and I want to play with other people that are having fun. That's why, like, the charity thing is perfect for me, because I'm able to mix and mingle with people that are trying to get back to a good cause and are there for a good time. But this getting up on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning or on the weekend, and you're going out there and you feel like you got to take a shot at trying to get on the PGA Tour. That's not me. If me and you ever were to go out and play, it's just we're buds, we're having fun, we're going out there, and we're just going to hit some shots. Put it like this, you're never going to get me trash talking you on a golf course.
That's good, because when I go play golf, my main goal is to just not make a complete fool of myself. Which I can usually, you know, stay on the fairway just enough to do that. But yeah, other than that, I'm just along for the ride.
For every good shot that I hit, there's three bad shots.
Yeah.
That's who I am. I'm Charles Barkley terrible. All right? So just for the people out there. But I do like watching the game. It just, when you're seeing the best players in the world play, this is something special about that. I don't care what the sport is. When you see the people that are at the top of the business playing the sport that they love, that's special, man. That's unique. You know, I love watching Phil play. I'm glad he's coming to the 3M Open. I love watching Tiger play. There's so many good golfers out there. I mean, when you are able to make a living playing golf, you're pretty darn good. Let's just be honest about it. Guys on the tour, those guys are so damn good. Well, with that, I know that there are a bunch of rules, and I don't know 5% of the rules of golf, okay? But this one, I wonder about, just because Webb Simpson brought it up in regards to the Players Championship. So Webb Simpson, he was 4 under. And he had a 47-foot shot for birdie on the 14th hole Sunday when he was assessed a one-shot penalty for inadvertently moving his ball, which is a violation of Rule 9, 4B. The rule states if the player lifts or deliberately touches his or her ball at rest or causes to move, the player gets one penalty stroke. Okay? Which, that is not nothing new. I mean, people have... Look, that's the thing. We know about that, about the, you know, those accidents happening. This was his explanation, though, okay, because he blamed the penalty on his shirt and his putter. He says, "My ball's on the fringe, and I was seeing if I was standing in the rough or if I was going to get both feet in the fringe or whatever, and the end of my putter just got stuck on my shirt, and it moved the ball about a quarter of an inch," he said after the round. "I thought it might be a penalty, but we called anyways, and if it's on the green, it's not a penalty. So this is where I'm going to be loud and clear. Like, we have to get intent into the rules. We have to, because it's killing our game when it comes to these kind of things. I am not the diehard golfer. I am not even the diehard golf fan. There could be a golf fan out there that could help me out with this. If you do have an opinion, hey, feel free. 651-989-9226. Or you can text 81806. I look at what Webb Simpson's saying, and I agree with him. And this is the reason why I agree with him. Being the novice golf guy that I am. He didn't intend to move the ball. Like, the way that it was, the rule is written, it says if the player lifts or deliberately touches his or her ball, he didn't deliberately do it. So I know that there are penalties for a lot of different things. I can't necessarily get with this one, though. He was penalized because he moved the ball when it was off the green. Had it been on the green, there would not have been a violation. But I just, he didn't intentionally try to do it. So that's where I feel for him in that case. I get it. And look, I know he's got to be better about it. This is part of the game. But I do agree with him. Intent should be a part of it. And if he didn't intend to move it in any way, shape, or form, then why penalize him?
See, I think I would take the other stance.
The other stance?
Okay. Yeah, because
okay.
I think it's really dangerous to try to put intent into the rule of sports, because then you get people trying to play the referee, trying to do something and then play it off as if they wanted to or they didn't want to. And a referee should have to call black and white. These are the rules of the game, and this is how we're going to enforce it. And, I don't play golf either. I'm not familiar with this rule.
Mm-hmm.
But I liken it to if you're shooting pool, right? Same thing happens. If you inadvertently touch the cue ball or a different ball, that's a scratch. That's a penalty. And it doesn't matter if you meant to or not. Mm-hmm. And if we're just playing for fun, sure, just have the shot back. But if we've got some money on the line, like, I don't care if you meant to do that or not, or if you wore the wrong shirt or whatever, like, those are the rules, and that's what we're going to play by.
I agree with you 100% on the point you just made. But, here's the but. Then they need to take it out of the rule where it says, or deliberately touches. They have to take that out then. You can't, according to the way, and I agree with what you just said, you can't leave it in there if the rule states if the player lifts or deliberately touches his or her ball, because you don't know what his intent is.
Exactly.
Then you have to take it out then. To me, it's so subjective right now, because it says deliberate. He says, I didn't try to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do kind of feel for him there. Now, I agree with you. Accidents happen, and sometimes you just got to live with the ramifications of the accidents.
That's right.
I feel you on that. But to me, if we're going to redo the rule then, if you're not going to do it the way that Webb wants it, then you're going to have to take the deliberately touches out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in with that. And, this reminds me of the catch, no catch, fiasco that's been going on in the NFL for years, right? And the more we dig into that, the more complicated it gets, right? And I think at some point you have to take a step back and make it really black and white. Even if it's maybe not fair, quote unquote, and, in whether it's golf or football or whatever, that, it doesn't look right or it's not fair. But look, we got to make it even, and we got to make it black and white so that we can make a call that everyone agrees is right in the rule book, whether it kind of looks funky or not.
Yep.
It's got to be black and white.
And he goes on to say, like today, what they try to say is either it's hard to write the rule with intent or you open it up for gray area, which is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
He goes on to say, well, I think it's actually the opposite, because I'm playing with Lucas. We're up there. Why would I try to move the ball? Like, there's no advantage. Hey, and there's cameras everywhere, too. I don't know if that got on there, but my putter hit my clothes. It moved it a quarter inch. I'm going to move it back. So I'm just hoping that somehow or another intent can get broadened, I guess. So I think it all has to do with the intent. I think it is open for conversation, though. They should look at it about the whole, deliberately, the intent thing, and see how that's going to play out. Because, well, for him, the penalty costs $60,000. He still took home a nice check of $193,000. But, still cost him $60,000.
Yeah, maybe you can get some tighter fitting shirts for next time that don't cause that mistake.
My goodness.
It's not you mocking a man's clothes. What's up with that? Come on, DJ.
Let's get him a sponsor for some, you know, trimmer fitting shirts.
Come on, DJ. Now he's just, Webb, I'm with you, buddy. If you listen to the show, I'm with you. DJ's on the other side, I'm with you. I got your back. Wholeheartedly, I got your back. All right, coming up in the final segment, I haven't been to a wedding in a while. And, well, one individual received some rules in regards to attending a wedding coming up. And I'm not sure that I would abide by these rules. We'll get into that in the final segment of Lake Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, the final segment here of Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm surprised we have not heard back from Warren in St. Paul. Warren called us twice last week, and both times, and look, I love Warren, okay? Warren's a good dude. Warren called the first night, and we were tied up. And we said call back later in the show. He couldn't call back later in the show. He had something going on. I get that. So then 2 days later, he tried to call back again, but we had a guest.
Yeah.
We couldn't put you. I love you, Warren, but I can't put you on when we got a guest. That's literally like we're getting to the guest in 60 seconds. And what did he claim? He says, oh, Lake, you're big time on me now. No, there's no big time in anybody.
I think Warren has a bedtime that's a little earlier than the bulk of our show.
Warren's probably going to call us tomorrow.
Perfect.
But the Wolves play tomorrow. We're after the Wolves.
Yeah.
Maybe he will.
We won't get on until after 10 at least.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Warren's going to check in at some point. But Warren, we're not ducking you. We're not running from you. We're not big timing you.
I might give you a little grief just for fun, but.
All right, so I need some help with this. Okay? I need some help with this. And it has to do with weddings. Okay? And one specific wedding. So what ended up happening is that someone had tweeted out, would you attend a wedding if you received these guest demands? Okay? We're going to get to the guest demands here in just 1 second. I have not been to a wedding in, it's been 3 years. The last wedding, how many wedding, you've been to a wedding this year?
I've probably been to 4 or 5 in the last year.
Okay, 4 or 5 in the last year. So you've been to a bunch in the last year, and the last wedding I've been to was 3 years ago. All right, I'm going to read you if you were got an invitation to go to the wedding, this is the email that you received, and then we'll go through. It says, good morning, whatever the name is. It's blacked out.
Sure.
My name is such and such. I am the wedding coordinator for such and such and such and such. I am reaching out to all confirmed guests to do a final headcount and go over some rules and regulations of the wedding day. First of all, are you still attending with a plus one? Okay, this is okay. I get that question. Are you attending with a plus one? I mean, I get you. You're, because if the person says no, then you don't even care about the rest of the answers, right? Right?
Yeah, you're right on that point. But I got a problem already with what's going on here.
Okay.
Because a wedding coordinator should not be reaching out to me, David, as I'm coming to a wedding. If a wedding coordinator is doing their job right, I should have no idea who they are. They should be completely behind the scenes. Now, they could be the one putting out information. They could be the one behind the information. But I shouldn't need to know their name, their contact info. I shouldn't need to know their anything. They should be anonymous.
Okay.
It's not their show.
You say that they should be anonymous.
So they sure, you can send some info, but I don't think I should even know who they are or need to know that they're the wedding coordinator or anything like that.
Okay. I got you. But a lot of people do have that, right? They have people that are putting stuff together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, so these are the stipulations. These are the rules and regulations. Number one, please arrive 15 to 30 minutes early. That makes sense. Of course.
Yeah, that's kind of an unspoken rule at weddings anyway. You always come early.
You don't show up late. I mean, you show up early. I'm totally on board with that, okay? Number two, please do not wear white, cream, or ivory. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't. So what?
Yeah. I'd say the same thing there. Like, you know, don't wear white on a wedding day. That's what the bride's wearing.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, I don't. No big deal there. I'm totally with you. Number three, please do not wear anything other than a basic bob or ponytail. No.
No, that's where you lose me.
No, you lost me right there. Please do not wear anything other. No, no. You're doing too much already. Number four. Now, this is the one to just, and this don't have anything to do with me, but this is for all the ladies out there. Number four. Please do not have a full face of makeup. What? How are you telling the women what their makeup should look like?
I don't even think that's the right way to say that. A full face of makeup. What does that even mean?
I think that they're saying like don't have, the way that I'm assuming it, they're meaning it, is don't have makeup all over, like don't have it caked on or I don't know.
No, you get to do your own makeup how you want.
Yes. You're not part of the, look, I'm a guest.
Yeah.
You're not doing my makeup for me.
That's right.
So no, that's the second one you're doing too much. Do not record during the ceremony. That one I don't have an issue with.
Yeah, me either.
Because we both believe that if you're putting it out there, that means that what they're essentially telling you is that it's going to be recorded.
Yeah, there's professionals. They're doing their job. Don't get in their way and don't be moving around and trying to get the right shot or whatever. Just sit and watch the wedding.
All right, number six. Do not check in on Facebook until instructed. Who gives a damn about Facebook?
Now, the one thing
I check in. Seriously.
The one thing I wonder with that, though, is I wonder if there's some sort of element in the wedding that's part of the celebration where they're asking everyone to, at a certain point, take out their phone, do a picture, and check in all together, or some sort of shtick like that, that they're trying to hold everyone back so they can do it together. That's my only question. If that's not the reason, okay, then I'm out.
Okay. All right. I can see your point on that. Number seven, use hashtag whatever when posting all pictures. Get out of here with that. Use hashtag. I'm going to put the pictures however I want to put them. Hashtag whatever. Hashtag NBA. Hashtag Twins baseball. Don't tell me what the hashtag.
Now, that is a popular thing to do at weddings, is to offer, I think it's worded a little, you know, you must do this. But it is a popular thing to say, hey, hashtag it at this so that all the photos are together.
Use hashtag. Stop it. Number eight, do not talk to the bride at all.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, I guess that's weird.
Aren't you there because you're a friend of the bride and or groom?
It just comes across as weird.
Isn't that why you go, is to congratulate them on their wedding?
Number nine, everyone will toast with Remy. No exceptions. Huh?
What?
Everyone will toast with Remy? Now you got to tell people what they're drinking?
And who's Remy?
Remy Martin. The drink. That doesn't make any... What?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's and then last but not least, this is number 10.
This is the worst.
Must come with gift $75 or more or you won't be admitted in.
So you're checking
what the value.
Yeah, the value. You like scan in on the registry and make sure
I ain't showing up, bro.
Yeah, that's
I'm not showing up.
That last one's the worst.
I'm good. If you have any questions or need clarification, please call me directly. Yeah, I'm going to call you up and I'm going to cuss you out because no, you're not telling me how much I'm paying for your gift. Are you kidding me?
It's a gift.
Yes. These people are insane. This coordinator, lastly, must come with gift of $75 or more if you want to be admitted in. Don't come with a full face of makeup. Don't wear anything other than a basic bob or ponytail. Shut up. Wedding is going to be lame. Seriously. I'm trying to control it all. Makes no sense, man. All right, we're back at it tomorrow night, me and DJ, hanging out with you. It'll be a little bit later, though, because the Wolves are in action. They face Golden State. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow after the Wolves right here on Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO.